Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Welcome back to All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. Thank you for joining us. Our show about silence continues now with a look at A Quiet Place, a film that's been called a modern-day silent film. Now, when you think of a film soundtrack or a film sound design, chances are you're probably imagining a full orchestra with sweeping strings, crescendos, or some sort of ominous sounds that enhance the most dramatic parts of the film. But imagine if silence, or almost silence, could have a similar effect on a film's audience, intensifying moments of action and heightening the viewer's senses. Well, the sound design to the film A Quiet Place does exactly that. The film, true to its title, is dependent on silence, not only for its plot, but also for its dramatic effect. So dramatic and successful, in fact, that the film's supervising sound editors have been nominated for an Oscar for their work. Their names are Eric Adel and Ethan van der Rijn, and I'm so glad they're able to join me to break down the cinematic virtues of silence. Eric and Ethan, welcome to All of It. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks so much.
Pleasure.
So for the few listeners who haven't seen A Quiet Place and might not know the premise of the film, can you explain to folks why silence is so critical?
Well, yeah. A Quiet Place, people call it a silent film, and I think mostly because there is very little dialogue. But we have three moments in the film where we have absolute digital silence, no sound. And that's where our character, the daughter Regan's cochlear implant, is turned off. And that's kind of a critical moment, both for her character and the story, and kind of an amazing way to put the audience in her shoes. And more broadly in the film, silence and quiet is kind of a way to make the audience lean in and listen and have their ears open up in kind of a special way.
For you folks, as sound editors, when you first heard about this project, just immediately what went through your head?
So, yeah, one of the producers, Andrew Form, who we've worked with on a few other movies, he said, "Hey, we're going to be shooting this this film this coming fall. We'd love for you guys to work on it with us. You're going to love it because there's almost no dialogue. So it's all about sound." He said, "I know you hear this all the time, but this time it's really true. It's all about sound." And then we got sent the script, and you know, immediately Eric and I called each other after reading it and said, this is amazing. He wasn't lying. This really, you know, is a screenplay where sound is sort of driving the narrative forward, and sound is going to become a central character in the film, really. And yeah, this is going to be an incredible experience. So we were just super excited.
For someone who doesn't understand, and I'm going to put myself in that category, frankly, explain to us what a sound editor, what is your job on a film? What is it your goal when by the end of it, you've achieved your goal? What has happened?
Well, as sound editors, we're basically constructing everything that you hear that isn't music in the film soundtrack. And Ethan and I usually do very sound-intensive films, so we're often hired and involved when the script is still being written and before the film has been shot, kind of coming up with ideas and concepts and starting things like, you know, creature design and that kind of thing, making those sounds from scratch. Then the film is shot, and there's a production mixer on set whose job is to capture dialogue, and in the case of A Quiet Place, you know, very delicate little whispers and breaths. And once the film is shot, we go into post-production, and that's really where we kick into high gear. So, you know, the picture is now being edited, and concurrently with that, we're editing the sound and piecing together everything, really. Not just the dialogue, which might only comprise 1% of the movie soundtrack, but all of the atmospheres, you know, the insects in the cornfields, every little wood floorboard creak, footsteps pushing into sand, and of course, you know, our creature design.
Well, speaking of the creature design, let's take a quick listen to a really scary sounding dude. Let's check it out. There was so much going on in there. That told a whole story right there, just through that sound. Will you explain to our listeners what they just heard?
Yeah. So what they heard is so Emily Blunt, one of our lead characters, she's actually close to giving birth. She's in labor. And she's hiding in the basement of the house that our family lives in. And she's trying to stay very quiet because there are animals, there are creatures, alien creatures out in the world who are blind but have hypersensitive hearing. And so they hunt through sound. So she's trying to remain completely quiet, but this animal has sensed that there's something close by. And so it is, first we hear it on the floor above her, and then we hear it starting to descend the wood stairs down into the basement where she's hiding out. And she has very cleverly found a little egg timer that was in the basement. And she has set it, knowing that once it goes off, it will create this loud bell, which will basically create a sonic diversion for her and get the creature's attention away from any sound that she might be making and towards this egg timer. And for the creature, one of the main things we're hearing is this sort of clicking sound, which when we first started working on the sound design for the creature, we were thinking about, okay, these creatures are blind. It would make sense for them to use some sort of echolocation to navigate through the world. And so we started initially playing around with sounds from real world animals that use echolocation, like dolphins and bats. And we realized these sounds felt a little too recognizable. And so then we started searching for other sounds that we could use to sell this idea of echolocation. And one of our sound designers, Brandon Jones, stumbled across a little stun gun that we have in our studio and started using it against grapes, which we just happened to have in the kitchen. And it's interesting because grapes basically are very similar to human flesh with a thin skin on the outside. So they're very good at conducting electricity. And so we recorded the stun gun stunning the grapes. And then we took that back into our studio and slowed it down about 75%. And those ended up becoming the clicks that you're hearing in that piece that the creature is using to navigate and in a way paint a picture of the world around it because he's blind.
Two things. One, I bet you guys know a lot of really weird facts, like about the grapes.
And they don't taste so good after they've been stunned.
And now I want people to take a listen to that again, now having all that information. Let's play that clip again. My guests are Eric Adahl and Ethan van der Rijn. They are the supervising sound editors on the movie A Quiet Place. You guys have been nominated for an Oscar for this. That's amazing. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
When you first read this script, what kind of challenges did you think this would pose for you? A script where quiet and silence is at the forefront rather than, I mean, I know you guys worked on Transformers and things like that.
Well, yeah, in a way, a film that is so quiet and subtle can be harder than a big bombastic film, you know, when you've got wall-to-wall music and tons of action, you know, the old more is more. There's so many things and sounds to kind of hide behind, in a way. And when we get so stripped down and so simple, every little detail matters. And in a way, every small sound becomes a really big sound. So, you know, there's a feeling at some points like, oh my gosh, it feels like our drawers are down in the wind, you know, you're so exposed with every little detail. But that was thrilling too. And for me, that's, part of what made me really lean in to this experience. And as you mentioned, it's all there in the script for us. We knew going in, this would be massively challenging with just so little dialogue to hang your hat on. The sound really needed to tell the story and explain the logic scene to scene. You know, the film also has almost no exposition. You know, there's no montage that explains, you know, what has happened. And instead, it puts the audience in medias res, just right in the middle of it. So with sound, it was our task to have to tell that story.
The sound also caused for me, and I know for other people, the sound causes fear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, one of the things we really wanted to do with the sound design was to create an interactive experience. We wanted to try and draw the audience into the situation and as much as possible, you know, into the characters' shoes, into their point of view in a way. So although there's no actual visual point of view shots in the movie, we started playing around with creating sonic points of view. And John Krasinski came to call these sonic envelopes, where at certain points in the film, we basically just play what the character, whatever character we're focusing on, is hearing. Basically, we go inside their heads sonically. And most dramatically, this works with the deaf daughter, played by Millicent Simmons, who's an actress who is deaf in real life. And she, in many ways, sort of becomes the center of the film sonically, because when we go into her sonic point of view, we hear basically what she hears most of the time when she has her cochlear implant turned on, and it's a sound that we based on her description of what her experience is like to John, and then John passed on to us once we started the sound design. And you know, for us, we got the description, and then we sort of related it to time that we've spent in anechoic chambers, which are completely sonically isolated rooms, where after, you know, a few minutes of sitting in one of these rooms, your ears start to open up to the point where what you hear is the sound of your own body internally, the blood rushing through your veins, and your nervous system buzzing and your heart faintly pumping away. And so that's what we hear when we cut into her point of view when she has her cochlear implant turned on. And then, as Eric mentioned, there's three moments in the film, three points, where she turns it off, and then we go to her sonic perspective, which is complete digital silence. And there's something about that that is so shocking. You know, we're not used to hearing complete silence you know, anywhere in the world we live in, basically, there's always some sound going on. So to have the experience of complete silence and in the middle of a movie experience is, I think, a unique experience. And in a way, it's like having the rug pulled out from under you. And what it does in the movie is, I think it really connects us to her vulnerability in this situation, which is, you know, sound is everything. And to not have the ability to hear in this environment where, you know, if you make too loud of a sound, it will get you killed. I think we immediately sort of understand her vulnerability. And there's something very powerful in that. And it also gives us a place to build from, you know, within the movie, because basically it's sort of a baseline that we can build all these layers of quiet upon and really start to hear the differences in all these different shades of sound.
Eric and Ethan, before I let you go, you for a living, you're asked to create environments and to figure out how to make a grape into something else and to have what to do, all the million things you probably do with sand in your sound studio. What did this movie, how did it make you think differently about silence and about being quiet?
Yeah, personally for me, it really reinforced, this concept of the power of sound, you know, and I know Ethan shares this feeling, sound, our ability to hear just within the animal kingdom predates our ability to see. It's so baked into our consciousness and subconsciousness. And in a way, because of that, it becomes invisible. But it works so powerfully on, you know, the reptilian part of the brain. And so as sound designers, this film really reinforced my feeling about how we can kind of use an invisible hand to manipulate emotion and create a really visceral and immersive experience for audiences. The great filmmaker Walter Murch described that, you know, images come in through the front door and sound comes in through the back door. So this was a wonderful experience of, you know, playing with the back door.
Eric Adel and Ethan van der Rijn, the Oscar-nominated supervising sound editors for A Quiet Place. Thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
This is Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI, to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.